The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying.
The good God, He knows our names. You're here and you're wondering, does God know me? Yeah, knows you, knows you. He knows you to a T. He knows everything about you. Everything. He sees you right where you are. Sees everything about you. Be assured of that. We've been here for a couple of days acquiring apostolic education. And so far we've touched on a bit of a lot. We've considered apostolic ministry, what it is, the difference between the apostolic office and apostolic ministry. We have looked at the beginnings of apostolic ministry, how the Lord Jesus picked the first 12 apostles, whom he called the apostles of the Lamb. We have considered how he called them to spearhead the place of foundations in the life of apostles. We've looked at that. Oh, thank you, Lord. We've looked at that. We have seen that he habitually will pick people to go ahead of others and open up the door. This is how our God operates. We've also seen that the things that were written, the things that have happened, and the things that continue to happen are things that are a result of obedience. So he raised those apostles. We've seen how you can go from the calling of an apostle to the fulfillment of the commission given to you. We've considered these different things and much more. If you have not had the privilege of being here, I would suggest that you visit our YouTube channel or Telegram channel and access the audios or videos of these meetings. Approach it with seriousness, maybe a notebook and a pen, and I am sure you will be blessed tremendously. Not just the way people say people will be blessed, but you will be equipped. Whenever I preach, whatever we do in line with ministry, I think constantly as an equipper. I don't think as someone whom you will say of, oh, in the few minutes I spend with them, or in the hours or a few hours I spend with them, I was blessed. To be honest, maybe this is the first time I'll make this, I'll say this clearly. I mean, I've said it many times in different ways, but put from this angle, I have no real interest in whether you think you were blessed or not if you came for our meetings. So I'm just being absolutely honest. I am too engrossed with trying to equip the people that came to be equipped. I'm focused on the disciples. I'm focused on those who want to become like Jesus. Now, to be sensible, you would know that if you are going to become like Jesus, there will be things you pass through that when you pass through it, you won't say, I feel blessed. Yes, no? Uh-huh. But who says they are blessed after a flogging? You get up. Oh, daddy. Ooh, my God. That was like 12. I mean, not 6. I'm blessed. Nobody stands up from a flogging feeling they are blessed. All right, so I'm not interested in your feeling blessed. I'm only interested in being a blessing to you. I'm interested in equipping you to fight the battles of the Lord Jesus, to fight the battles of our King and our Master. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in your being equipped, being capable when confronted with the works of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, the troubles, that he brings. I'm interested in your winning, okay? Interested in your winning. That's all I want. I want you to win. I want you to win totally. Now, to do that, it's like training a soldier, training a real soldier. You're training a soldier and you're training that soldier effectively. You're going to put him through a lot of pain. It's a fact. He's going to go through a lot of pain. But in the midst of war, that pain you put him through is what will keep him alive longer than all civilians. It's what will make him able to take out the enemy. It's a completely different approach. So this is how my mind works. Not some of the time. All of the time. If only I would visit sometimes. Okay, today is serious. We have a serious meeting. I'm always serious. In spite of the 100 jokes I'll tell in a meeting. I'm serious. That's just a little sugar for the troops. The mission remains the same. To raise people who can take on the kingdom of darkness in all its presentations. It shows up in this way. You recognize that's the devil. No, that's not a blessing. That thing is not a good thing. That thing everyone is clapping at. That's the devil. That's the devil. That's the devil. That's a trap. That's not to help you. That's going to swallow you up. You're about to lose money. You're about to lose time. You're about to lose a lot of things. What was your offering last 5 Sundays? I give. How much do you give? Well, depends. You know, I'm a student. I'm a new worker. I'm a graduate. It's my job. They don't pay. How much did you give? I gave 500. I gave 2,000. I gave. Okay, good. Total. 10,000. How much did you give to the Buddhist Indian? Buddhist India. I don't know any Buddhist India. Well, you do indirectly. You just don't know. No? I said, I don't know now. Shouldn't I know? No, you know a Buddhist India. And you gave him a good sum of money. When? Didn't you invest in some Bitcoin stuff or some this month? What has that to do? Who took your money? No, it's not like that. I see. It's a platform. A platform. Is it wood or steel? Is there foam on it? Who did you give? Well, I don't know. It's a, like I said, it's an app. Do you know who you gave your money? No, I didn't give him as an investment. Okay, you got it back. Not yet. I'll withdraw it. Go and get it back. When you get it back, come and tell me you got it back. But let's refer to the times you lost it. Who did you give? An Islamist in Turkey. An atheist in China. How much was it? Was it 10,000? No, I invested about. Well, the first one was 200,000. Then this other one was 400. But okay, that one crashed. So, what do you mean by crashed? Do you mean the money fell down and broke? No, you gave it to an atheist, China. You give God 10,000. You give an atheist somewhere 500,000 or 600,000. Well done. Clap for yourselves. Keep sponsoring darkness in the name of greed. Claim ignorance. The God that told me don't do things like that, that I told you don't do things like that, didn't know what he was saying. Saying it was bad luck. It's not bad luck. You gave the money to someone. You joined the general scam that has gone on. How many billions have been lost worldwide to people everywhere in the world? You still keep going because you are powered by greed. Just that you've never thought of it as an offering. To people who advance darkness, to people selling child pornography, you are sponsoring darkness. When it comes to light, you give 10K in a month. Then you sponsor darkness to the tune of millions. But you see, your mind does not work like this because it has not been trained. You have been trained now. All right. God bless you. That was your personal prophetic word. Let's go back to what I want to preach. Psalm 101. Let's look at it. Preparing to host God. When you want to host God, how do you prepare? How do you prepare to host God? How do you have God come and dine with you? Psalm 101. He says, I will sing of your loving devotion and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing. I want to read two separate translations. Sorry, I want to read more than one translation. King James 2000 says, I will sing of mercy and justice. Unto you, O Lord, will I sing. Mercy. Loving devotion is the Hebrew word hesed. It's translated mercy. That's the word mercy. Loving kindness. Many other translations. Loving devotion. Same word. I will sing. Unto you, O Lord, will I sing. I'm giving you an order. You want to host God. You want God to come to you. You're saying, Lord, show up in my life. You sing praise to him. What do you praise him about? You praise him about his mercy to you. Lord, I'm grateful for the mercy I enjoy from you. I am grateful for the mercy I enjoy from you. That is something you give him praise for. Have you enjoyed God's mercy? Then count your blessings. Note them down. Acknowledge it. Your mouth has to say it. You have to express the appreciation for the things he's done. Most people do not see the Lord because they are not grateful. The Lord wants you to be grateful. He healed 10 lepers. One came back to say thank you. He didn't say no problems. He said, were there not 10 of you? Where are the other 9? In other words, I expect you to be grateful. Why don't you come back to say thank you? You wake up, you just go on with your life. Have I done nothing for you? Ingratitude is one of the major reasons people do not experience a lot of God's goodness. He can't understand if what he did meant nothing. He is in wonderment. Did I do nothing for you? You have no reason to be grateful? You're not going to say thank you? What did the man do? He didn't give him money. He came and said, he gave him glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Luke 17:16. He fell face down at Jesus' feet in thanksgiving to him. And he was a Samaritan. All the others were Jews. Religious people can be the most ungrateful people. It's like, what's there? What's there? Ah, no, God can do all these things. What's there? No, understand this was given to you for a reason. 9 Jews, 1 Samaritan. Only the Samaritan did what was right. Why? He was not surrounded by preconceived ideas of gratitude. Remember, it's Jesus that told him, go and give appreciation. Go and show. Before they were even here, he said, go and show yourself to the high priest. Go and show yourself to the high priest. Okay? Show yourself to him and tell him, look at me. Am I okay? Am I perfectly okay? Am I all correct? The priest had the duty of ascertaining if you had leprosy still at work in your life. So the Lord skipped the process. They prayed to him. The Bible doesn't say he stood there and prayed. They obeyed him. He said, go. And they went. Without anything happening yet. It's on the way that they realize, wonderful. Wonderful. What does that tell you about God's help? Most people never see or understand God's help because they wait. Say, if God is going to help me, let me see it first. I will obey you after I see. Those are the people that barely ever see God. When others tell them God did this for me, they say it's a lie. Because they wonder, what about me that has been waiting for God since? Yeah, people like that. Their attitude is that if God wants to help me, he must help me and I approve God. God, yes, do what they say you can do. Do it in my own life. I'm here. I'm posting a report on you once I leave here. If you can do it now. Imagine coming to God with this attitude. People come to him like this. God having no low self-esteem. God cares nothing about your opinion. God so cares nothing about your opinion that he can allow his son, the savior of the world, the maker of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, whom he gave Project Earth to handle. He can allow him hang on a cross naked and he does nothing. That's how much God does not care about your opinion. If God is with him, let him come down from that cross. You and I, hey, if that was me, you know, they told him that. He saved others. Let him save himself. Maybe he's truly the son of God. As I was hanging there like that, I said, Father, excuse me. I am down there. That is like, high priest. Now, me and I thought, see, if nobody say God, I will boast you now. And because people need to be saved. Then I will go back to that cross. But I would have come, I would have haunted you in your dreams. Is it me you're talking to? But Jesus being Lord, a good God, he stayed there, acted, in fact, he hung there and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. They didn't know. There's no way they knew. God does not care about your opinion of him. The sooner you know that, the better for your life. If you think God sits down and goes, what would they think? Very rarely does God say he'll do something so the wicked will not think they won. But for him to be bothered, you now seem as though I'm not there. Abba, pay attention. God doesn't care if you think whether he's there or not. God is perfectly confident in himself. Think what you like. When the times he wants to show, he will show. Before that, you can't force him. Understand this. You want the Lord to show up in your life. You want to host the Lord. Sing of his, acknowledge, give praise concerning his loving devotion. Lord, I appreciate you. I appreciate him for the mercy he has shown you. Also, I appreciate him for the justice in his nature. Justice. What's justice? Justice is the times he has disciplined you as you deserve. And the times he has done things that people may not like. What's justice? Many people don't know what justice is. The only thing you've heard about God is mercy, mercy, mercy. That is erroneous. You must know God. You can't sing only of God's mercy. You must sing not just of the mercy of the Lord, but of the justice of the Lord. Who sings that? You know that song? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. And with my mouth I'll make known your faithfulness. Now that's a scripture. But you should learn to sing. I will sing of the justice of the Lord forever. Why? Why is this important? It's not just that you say it. You must sing it. There are very few songs that speak about God's justice. Some of our own in-house songs sing about God's justice. But very few songs out there sing about God's justice. God's justice is bloody. The most prominent biblical song of God's justice is the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. It's called the Song of Moses. And for those who have been poisoned against the law of God, in spite of Jesus' best efforts to tell you he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, you're still poisoned against the law. Once you hear law, you go like, ah. Jesus was clear when he said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Paul was clear when he said, do we put down the law? No, we uphold it. Paul was also very clear when he said that we don't set aside the law. When he said in Romans 7 that we the law is good, the law is spiritual. He wasn't making a mistake. It wasn't a slip of his tongue. He expects you to acknowledge and to honor his law. He said forever. He said heaven and earth will pass away. Not a jot or a tittle. That's like a full stop in his law will pass. Not anything. His law till heaven and earth. How you know the law may pass is when heaven and earth has passed away. Before that, his law stands. So if your own understanding of Jesus is that he came to discard the law, I think you should go and listen to Jesus. The law is prophecy. Can't be discarded. The law is a prophecy. By itself, the law is a prophecy. It contains a ton of prophecies. It prophesied alone for years, and then the Lord Jesus came and continued. to prove to you that the song of Moses has not been retracted in the book of Revelation. At the end, when those people were gathered in their multitude, they sang the song of Moses and of the Lamb. In other words, it's a trending song. It's a current song. It's not an oldie. It's not been set aside. Are you hearing me? It's not been set aside. And if you want to know what the song of Moses says, you need to go and read Deuteronomy 32 when you go home from here. When you read that book and you see why Revelation 15 said, who shall not fear you and glorify your name? Those are excerpts from the song of Moses, from Jeremiah the prophet, and others. It is a song of justice. It's a song of God's punishment and vindication against his foes, his enemies. And he's clear there when he refers to his own people as his enemies. Sometimes when they misbehave, he said, I'll treat you like an enemy. That's God's justice. There's a false doctrine out there that says that God can never judge his people. I don't know which Bible, I don't know which New Testament they hold, because I don't even need the old. The New Testament is enough from beginning to end. Jesus is standing there saying, woe unto you, Capernaum, Chorazin, Bethsaida. If the signs that were done have been done in you, were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, in Sidon and Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. Woe, that's grief, sorrow awaits you. These things I have done in your midst, you give account. He said it will be better for them. How could it be better for them? When someone tells you on a day of judgment, it will be better for someone else. So the religious folk who had seen the hand of God, who had experienced the goodness of God, they were able to disregard all of that. They disregarded all his goodness and mercy. So he sang a song of justice over them. The song of Moses and of the Lamb is a song of justice. He didn't say, who shall not love you and glorify your name? He said, who shall not fear you? Paul put it this way, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. There ought to be songs of God's justice, not just his faithfulness. The Lord is glorious, mighty is he. And I don't want the compassion part. His army has conquered his enemies when they shout. Yes, the things that Satan and Babylon set up will crash down when God goes for that has small judgment in it. The earth shakes at the sound of his voice. The nations tremble before you. The idols of men are all falling at the feet of the Lord our God. At the feet of the Lord our God. The Lord is a warrior. All right, so Don Man, go and find it, listen to it. That's a little. Don Man sings sweet night song, nice songs. He sang that one at least, and I'm happy. I think Women of Faith sang it too. This is from 20 years ago. It's a long time. It's old. We've listened to Jason Upton, and he's singing about Dying Star. That's a song of justice. A song of justice. You must sing songs of justice. Don't only like songs that talk about God's sweetness. Sing songs of God's severity. You can't just sing of his kindness. It's important that people sing songs. What am I teaching you? I'm teaching you how to prepare to host God. I'm preparing you to, you want God to show up? Then there's something you will do. You will sing praise to him. Even when you're thinking of the disciplines he brought, you will sing praise to him. You will honor him. You will give him glory. You will not think of his discipline and his justice and refuse to sing praise. You will sing praise. Are you understanding this? There has to be a consistency of your handling God. This is the foundation of everything I'm going to say. The Bible says the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. But what is his throne? Who knows? Mercy. Mercy is called the mercy seat. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So the seat itself is mercy in the center, but on the both sides, the legs that hold it up are righteousness and justice. They are the foundation, the legs of that throne. When the Lord comes to a place, he is established on righteousness. What is right? Justice is what you deserve. Mercy is the in-between place. He said, mercy, look at me, this is a chair. Mercy triumphs over justice. Judgment. Judgment is at the base. Psalm 89 verse 14 tells you righteousness, what I just paraphrased, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. But loving devotion, that's mercy and faithfulness, do what? Go before you. Can you see that's mercy triumphing? It comes higher. It's lifted above justice and judgment. But the foundation of even the mercy is found in his justice. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 23. He said, hey, you pay tithe of the tiniest seeds and forget the weightier matters. Matthew 23. You forget the heavier matters, hypocrites, of justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So as usual, mercy is in the middle. He lifts it up. He always will lift up because his nature is to show mercy and kindness first. This is the Lord's nature. I'm going to show you mercy. I'm going to show you kindness. But I'll still show you my severity. Romans chapter 11 verse 22. He says, he will show you his severity. He said you should know his kindness and his severity. If you only know his kindness, you only sing of his kindness, you only talk of his kindness, you tell everyone, God is all love, God is all love, 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 love. You are very confused. The God that came up with a lake of fire, are you thinking well? God's definition of love includes a flogging. Revelation 3. The one whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he flogs. He flogs the one whom he loves. Are you hearing this? If he loves you, he flogs you. I love you, I'll flog you. That's God. Hello, how are you? Do you love me to love you? Yes, Lord. That means I'll flog you. Lord, I thought you said you want to love me. Yeah, real love chastises. I want you to become, grow up and become a useful being. So I am going to discipline you. You can't keep that thing there. Pick it up. Go and keep it there in the right place. I told you two times before not to keep it there. I told you the last time if you kept it there again, I'd punish you. Now come here. I have to discipline you again. Now the act of making you pick it up is discipline. And then you left it again. I come back. It's 11:30 at night. And you had left the kitchen, which you've been told 17 times to clean up. And you think you should keep sleeping. Why there are so many improper people in this world is lack of discipline. Because the only thing on earth to do to you is come and wake you up. Wake up. I saw the kitchen a mess. I saw at least 7 plates dirty. I'll wash it tomorrow. Before I count 3 completely, I'm starting at 2. Clean that kitchen. Stand up and go and clean the kitchen. What time is it, mommy? It's 1 o'clock. What plate is it now? Let it wait. Bah! Bah is the only godly response. Any other response is wrong. But all over this world, you have people that allow people grow old, hard and stubborn. Go and wash those dishes. You're lucky I didn't wake you up with a flogging. Go wash those dishes quickly. And off you went to go wash the dishes. How many of you know the next night when you want to go to bed, except those few rebellious ones that turn it into a battle? I know, you know those ones, right? You know the ones that purposely refuse to do it the next day in case mommy gets used to it. Oh, let me tell parents, because parents don't understand. They remember and don't do it. So you won't get used to this new thing you started. No, it's a war of attrition. It's a very simple psychology. Children are, small children, my God, they are all in the department of psyops. They are unbelievably, should I say, vicious in their ability to carry out warfare against people mentally. They know what to do. They know how to think. They know, they do it without saying much. They just calmly decide, I'm going to disregard what you're saying. That time you compelled me to do it, I yielded because I didn't want the pain. So, but the first time they hold out on you and resist all your best efforts, it's to wear you down. It's a war of attrition. Till you give up. So things will continue as they have been. That's all. They want things to continue as it has been. And you're trying to change it. Do you realize this new idea you've brought about washing dishes before we go to bed? It's not a new idea. You used to do it. But you've brought a new idea that I will now be doing it. God forbid. Where do you get these evil plans from? I'm just 17 and a half. What is this, like a gift you're preparing for my 18th birthday? What do you mean? Mommy, keep doing what you did. Now, I'm helping parents. They won't tell you, but this is what's going up in the boardroom. This is the discussion. If you go there, this is what they are discussing. There's one or two. There's the church mind. Church mind is saying, well, we should do it. You know church mind? Have you met church mind? You have it. So church mind says, well, it's a good thing now. After all, it's not easy for mommy. After all, selfishness, self-centeredness, let things be as they have always been. I said, no! Have you thought it through? Do you know she's going to expect it of you continually? What if you want to answer a text message? SMS will speak up. Social media. SMS. Social media. Demons. What if you're trying to answer? Is that not when you normally chat and catch up with? Laziness, we say. And you have been lying there and resting your back. Selfishness, we say, all this one you people are talking. I can never, nobody can push me around. Am I a plate washer? It will disregard all sense, utter and total disregard for the fact that this is someone who pays rent. You live in their house, you're eating their food. When church man says this thing, I say, he answers immediately. Say, am I the one that said I should be born? That's their problem. I'm their burden to carry. They created me. Did I tell anybody? One woman in America was suing her parents for giving birth to her. They asked her, what about this, your children you have? I think she said she asked for permission before she had it. I'm not playing. It's nothing as crazy as the craziness of a white person. Like, it's a unique craziness. Have you seen someone that is crazy in good English? I'm mad people say, hey. But when someone is crazy, well, I think that it's unique. It's a battle. That's the war room. There's a battle. It's been decided. Church mind was finally walked out of the room. Get out. Bam. The gavel was hit. Bam. By the chairman. Self-centeredness. We go to war. Neka. Don't answer. Is that plate thing? Don't answer. Neka. Self-preservation. Do you think that is loud enough for it to be presumed you heard? Can you get away with lying? Lying says, can you? Do you think we can get away with that? They weigh the options. All this happens fractions of seconds. You have not been inside a mind. It's beautiful, beautifully horrible. It's a bad mind is a horrible place to be. But it's fascinating. That I'll give to you. It's fascinating. If God shows you these things, like, whoa. Christians, you need word of knowledge. You need experience to see through this one. Some instantly, before they even finish thinking, Holy Ghost, I said, psst, psst, psst. And they'll stand there. Now, once you find them out, I said, how could you not hear my voice? Look at where I was. Look at where I am. Is it not this room that when I stand, I hear? I say, I didn't hear. Then extreme spirit of lying will say, would I be lying? That one inside your mind is called the lack of fear of God. That's the one that when everybody else is about to surrender, it stands up. the lack of the fear of God, it's a fearless thing. One doesn't regard anybody, God, anybody, doesn't matter. So what? So what? He constantly tells everybody else in your boardroom that they are cowards. Ah, the lack of fear of God. That's why real wickedness comes from the lack of fear of God. It's you need him. When you want to do proper wickedness, you make him the chairman. Then you can accomplish great evil calmly. Lack of fear of God is like waiting. I don't know why now they like fear. It's the epitome of the fool. Says there's no God, Joe. We flow. We roll. We roll here. So you need to make him chairman. You want to do great evil? Sorry, can I pause briefly and address? There's this program I have. How to get God to punish you. Today's episode. Feed well your lack of fear of God board member, mental board member. Feed him well. Pay him a good salary. Put him in charge constantly. You will do the most wicked things in peace. Well, not in peace, but well, because the wicked are like the sea, but you can just ride it out like a surfboard, okay? Want God to punish you well, now or in the future? Make the lack of fear of God your chairman. Sack church mind from the board. Sack self-control. Get rid of compassion. Have nothing to do with mercy. Kill respect. Assassinate him in the alley, just outside. Take him out. Do not let them sit in. Appoint lack of the fear of God together with lying, selfishness, and the rest in that board. Don't just keep selfishness as the board center. Use lack of fear of God. I'm explaining. Remember, I want God to punish you well. So, put him in charge. Don't make him a board member. Make him board chairman. All those things you are afraid of doing, you'll be able to do it. This is my 2 cents to you on how to have God punish you. Sorry, I'm back. You must learn to sing of God's justice. Tell people the truth about God. Know God properly. Know when God disciplines you. Sing of it too. So people have to release songs. Not all these songs is, I was hungry. The Lord came to me. I was thirsty. The Lord gave me drink. Oh, his mercies. Oh, his mercies. They never cease. They never cease. You need to release. I was stubborn and I was stupid. The Lord sent trouble my way. Even today, they came and sent me away. When I'm stubborn and I don't do what they say, I soon hear the sound of a whip. It is coming my way. I learn to fear. Someone needs to release. Oh. Let people be dancing on the road singing. I was stubborn and I was stupid. The Lord sent Cain my way. If we were singing that, there will be lesson. Because as you say, so you even forget what the wordings are. You just be humming. Make sure the music is good. GMT. This is a project. Do you even know? I was stubborn and I was stupid. The Lord sent trouble along my way. Even today, I will hear what he says. Your roommates will go like, what did they say? You sing it again. You were stubborn and you were stupid. All over, people will behave better. But everybody is singing of God's mercy. He loves you. Yes, he does. Yes, sir. Sing of mercy and justice. We have done wrong. So many people are going to bow down to the beast because of the absence of songs of justice. Songs of justice tell you reality. Songs of justice tell you what will be to those who live disobediently. You live disobediently, this will happen. If not now, in the future, there will be a giving of account. There's a message I shared some Sundays ago, I think it was about accountability, about the day of accountability. please go and watch it. I want that date. I want that message. I want the picture there. So once it comes up, note it down. Go on YouTube. Go and watch it. About accountability. Don't play hope. Well, you know, this accountability thing, like someone told me some days ago, I don't really believe in it. Huh? Can you at least check it out in the Bible? So that's all I'm inviting you to do. Let's look at what the scriptures say about accountability. There will be accountability. Everyone will. And the Bible tells you how you will be accountable. It says, based on what you did. He didn't say based on what you believed. He didn't say based on what you heard. He didn't say based on what was said. He said based on what you did with what you heard. Whatever it is you heard, you will give account for what you heard. You will give account for what you did with what you heard. The people that will escape the most are those who never heard. Jesus said so. We just read it. Didn't you see? You didn't see Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum? If these things had been done, they would have repented. In other words, it was not done. They did not hear. It was not preached. It was not said. For all those to whom it is said, all those who heard, all those to them, you give account. It's very simple. Did you hear? Do you hear it? Did you read in the Bible? Then what? What are you arguing about? Stand here. What did you do? And what did you not do? Matthew 25 is mostly about what you did not do. People, the lake of fire is mentioned, and it said that people going there is because of what they did not do in spite of what they heard. And Jesus stood while he was still on earth, and he said it. He said, hey, these cities where I did, take note, he said he did his greatest miracles. So these were people who had testimonies. If you talk to them, say, no, God is good. Oh, no, I've never questioned it. But you spent your life disregarding him. You give account. It's not possible that you not give account. Why? Because God said you give account. Sunday, 12 November, preparing for the day of accounting. Preparing for the day of accounting. 12th November. It's a Sunday. Go on YouTube. Go to this message. I strongly suggest, that you listen to it. Why? Because when that day catches up with you, you wish you listened to it. And that day will catch up with all of us. All of us. That day is coming. There's nobody seated here now that day will not catch. It's not like you're going to say, no, don't worry. And then it will not catch up. It will catch up with you. You will be dragged before the court. You stand before the Lord. And you say, that thing that my servant was saying, this is the day. This is the day that I, Lord, have made. I made this day. It's the day you give accounts. Yes, now give accounts. And then you start saying, Lord, where do I start? So didn't he tell you to listen to the message? You would have known where you start. But it's okay. Let's help you small. Start with giving account. What did you do with Jesus? What did you do with my words? Did you know my words? Of course, I know the answer to every question I'm asking you, but well, I want to give you a fair hearing. Our Lord does not judge a man without first hearing him. So, even though I know where this judgment is going, but let's hear you. Yes, what did you do with your life? What did you hear? Were you amongst those who knew about me? Yes. Did you know about that a day of chastisement was coming? I heard rumors, but I didn't really believe it. The pastor, the church I was attending, they thought of about the grace of God. Okay, you mean my kindness? Okay, if you call it that. No, it's not if I call it that. The word is charisma. It means grace. It's charis. It's kindness. What? Okay. I didn't know that's the Greek word. Okay. You didn't have computers. Okay. Is it what grace? So yes, so I knew about your kindness. So did you read Romans 11:22? Where's this person's guardian angel? Play Romans 11:22. Don't play directly. Are you a new recruit? Play 24th December. Play it with the camera angle, catching the wall while catching you. You said you don't know Romans 11:20. You were in the meeting. Look at, they put it on the wall. That day you went without Bible to the church. Yes. So they put it on the wall. Sit there. What? You stood here and lied? Add that to the list. How long? That list is long. So you said where you were going. They taught you about my grace, my kindness. Okay, they didn't tell you about my severity. So what? Why didn't you read your Bible? From Genesis, your first parents experienced my severity. What? Why do you need to be told? Didn't you read it? Yeah, well, you know, since Jesus came, I don't get. You didn't get the last book. You thought the first book was for them. The last book, the book of Revelation, was not your Bible. You didn't read it. You didn't read kindness and severity for different churches. You did. What did you do with it? And that's what I'm saying. In the church I attended, I'll punish you if you mention the church you attended again. You answer, if I, Jesus Christ, I'm a church. Your church was part of the, supposed to be part of my churches, but it chose to have another head. Everything ought to be formed and joined, connected to the head, Christ. Then the head of your church group was a human being, was not me. In the head is the brain. It's from the mind, the brain, that the thoughts come forth. Did they say what I said? But that's part of what I'm saying. You know, by now, maybe you've peed and pooed on yourself. Did you not hear what I said in my word? Sure, I saw it, but I used to wonder what it meant, seeing that our bishop said, you do know I'm the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Oh, you didn't read this one, too? I think I heard of it, No, I know the other part that talks about, and by stripes I was healed. Yes, it's the same verse. Okay, I know that passage, but I just need to focus on the healing part. The part about you being the bishop. I wasn't really into this bishop thing. Okay. Today is the day you give account. There's a day to give account, child of God. What shall we do? What shall you do? Today for giving account. 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25. By stripes you were healed, for you have returned to the shepherd and overseer, bishop, episcopus of your soul. The one who has a right to oversee your soul, to investigate your soul. You have returned. Literally, you're here in front of me. So it's time. Give account. Why have I said all of this? I've said all of this to make one point. And what is that? You better sing of God's justice now. You better know of God's justice now. Nobody can escape God's justice. Why? Because nobody escaped his mercy. You didn't hear me. Everybody has enjoyed God's mercy. How can you escape God's severity? Everybody, I don't care how old you are. You've enjoyed my mercy. You don't want to enjoy my severity. No. The foundation of my throne, the foundation. I just lifted up mercy. I caused mercy to triumph over judgment. That was deliberate. So that you cannot say, God, Romans 2, don't you know the kindness of God draws you to repentance? I sent his mercy ahead to pull you to me. Because if I brought my justice first, you would have said, this God harsh, I don't run. So I sent kindness and love. I helped you. So you would appreciate me as I am. Then when I finished pulling you, you looked at me and said, I guess he's a pushover. I'm going to ignore everything else he says. Only when I want something good, I'll go to him. Really? Today is the day of accounting. Give accounts. You should have believed me at least. You should have believed that someday you give account. So wise people pay attention to God and act like they'll give accounts. Have I said enough about singing praise and acknowledging God, not just for his mercy to you, but for his assurance of kindness? It is, if you read the book of Deuteronomy 32, the song of Moses, it's introduced at the end of 31. But in chapter 32, he said, teach this song to the children of Israel. The people of God were to learn about God's justice. They were to remember it. When they would sing it, they will remember, this judgment, I can assure you they disobeyed that command. They disobeyed it. If they had obeyed it, when you are singing this, they teach every child like ABC, the song of Moses. There's no other song that is clearly said. Teach it. Deuteronomy 31:19. Now therefore, write down for yourselves this song and teach it to the Israelites. Have them recite it so that it may be a witness for me against them. There's no other scripture like this. They did not learn this song. If they were singing out through every generation, wouldn't they be afraid? How many of you have heard, one shall chase 1,000, two shall chase 10,000? When you read it there, the Bible says that people were chased. This is the problem. See, read your Bible. This Bible I was reading, it messed up my life. Here I am, in a good mess. Don't you want to be? Who wants God to mess up their life in a good way? May the Lord answer you. Yeah. Now, Bible, now I sit down and they read. Instead of reading only school books, I ended up knowing all sorts of things. Do you know what happened? It's from this Bible that I found out that the people that they were chasing were Christians. And that is their enemy that was chasing them. Verse 30, now look at it. How could one man pursue 1,000 or two, put 10,000 to flight? Read. Unless their rock had sold them. Unless the Lord had given them up. You read it. You see, don't show us anymore. Go and read it by yourself. Go and read the whole chapter. You read like that. You say, yes, so, Arabakata. Every enemy. You better read above and read below and see who is running. It is God's people, disobedient, handed over to their enemy. The rock, God, handed them over to be chased. I don't know how my face shaped the day I saw it, but one shall chase 1,000. Two shall chase 10,000. My God, Le Kenga, Engedenga, Ikenga. I now said the scripture, no, where is our own? Where is our own? I now found one that said, one shall chase 1,000, five shall chase 10,000. I said, no, I want the one. Wait, these two of us only chasing 10,000. I saw it in the hand of the enemy. And for some of you, this means nothing. I'm like, well, no, it's a very big deal. That a passage you've been quoting against is being quoted against you. It is worrisome. If things don't worry you, you better start being worried. Because our God is very real. This is how you look at things happening in earth. And you wonder, how could God allow this? Aren't we children of God? And God is like, have you not read Deuteronomy 32? If you didn't like that one, why didn't you read the book of Revelation? Is it not written to the churches? One church, he said, I'll kill your children with death. When someone says they'll kill you, then he tells you what they'll kill you with. That is death. You are not worried. Death. Well, if the kill was not enough, with death. I want to kill you with onions. I'll kill you with that. our God. People have not regarded God. I've told you, when you're around God, all this, hey, high five, God, a wiper. That cool down. No. God is. You only like him in these songs. You are terrible. Did you hear what you said? He's terrible. Apostle of Grace said, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. He didn't say knowing the love. He said terror. Nobody that has been close to God gets carried away. No, you can't get close. You get over carried away. Talk to Aaron or his first two sons. They left. But talk to Nadab and Abihu. Get carried away. Just, we are the lead priest. Hey, hold this thing down. Bring fire. Say, should we get the fire? Oh boy, get fire from everywhere now. Fire, no be fire. They all carried it near the altar of incense. Boom! Dead bodies. What happened?
I don't know. It's like a gas explosion.
Inside the new tent that Moses consecrated. What happened? Someone got carried away and thought they can bring anything from anywhere and put there. God like, how they? See, whenever God builds a new thing, don't do anyhow. When he built a tabernacle, two people died when the church started new. This one was husband and wife tag team, Ananias and Sapphira. They all came in with any fire. But they are on different. It's 1-1. One went first. Because they didn't come together. This one came first. Do I smell burnt flesh? Strange fire. Carry out. Carry him out. The madam came later. Brought the same strange fire. God's like, in this new house, No. Hey, it's different if the wall. You know how the wall of a house. Have you been to a house that has been abused by children? Who has been in an abused house? How many of you, nobody cares about the wall? Who has seen the wall? A wall that is, doesn't know a trans wall. It looks like a whiteboard, but you suspect it was a wall when they made it. Crayon, pencil. That looks like a cat. Just artwork. Good. Bad graffiti. Good. Now it's different if the house is old. Then you see one small person standing there. Who has seen those people standing there? Then you pass. It's different. Then you just pass. You, eh? But if daddy just finished painting the house. Whoop! Can I talk to my sinners briefly? If you want to sin, wait till everybody is sinning. Everybody is sinning. Then nothing has happened. You check them. Nothing. You can now join. Have you heard? Not you. But if nobody is sinning, my counsel to sinners, don't sin. You know, you go to that place, everybody is behaving themselves. No boyfriend, no girlfriend. Don't start. Everybody, every time, every room you go, Christian music. Borrow. Lay. Don't be the beginner. Wait, let 4 or 5 others go ahead of you. But if you are there on your own, you say, I've always been of a pioneering spirit. When your spirit is summoned away from your body, don't say I didn't tell you. I gave you 2 witnesses of two people. I forgot I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to you. They are not here. You guys are Christians. Sing of God's justice. Moses got carried away. Speak to the rock. First time, strike the rock. You want water? Bah! Is that not water? No, they do anyhow. Second time, no water. Speak to the rock. I'm going to show them. Did you hear what they said? They said, speak. Speak. You want water? Bah! God stayed in heaven and said, because of that, no water. Nope. That's not how God flows. His servant has spoken. There must be support. Is this rock? Come on, bring our water. Water from the rock. Moses, let me see you. Moses, did I send you and you got carried away? So now we are meet. Ah, Lord, no, you're not entering. It's not like it could be rediscussed. Moses, one day, after he and God have been coolly close again for a long time, he now said, Lord, with all these wonderful things you're showing me, could I please go and see God cutting off someone. He said, don't raise that topic again. So it will not be, you will not enter land, you will not enter heaven. don't raise that topic again. Do not raise the matter. That was the end of it. Deuteronomy 3:26. But the Lord was angry with me on account of it, and he would not listen to me. That is enough. The Lord said to me, do not speak to me again about this matter. Does that sound like a fire being closed? Is it only closed? You can't see that thing they put around it. Have you seen that one that they lock? They lock. Who has seen a locked file before that is in record? The type that before you open it, you have to cut with. God shut it down completely. Do you know God does this with people? You don't. Some of you don't know. It's not common. But it's usually with people that are a bit closer to him, that have known him. If God goes like this and makes this comment, forget it. You are very wicked to tell anybody to pray about it. You want examples? David, let the child live. Let the child live. The way he did that one, he just took away the child. There's no resurrection. That child was not going to rise there. He took him. He fasted for 7 to 8 days.
Just lifted him. He had told him already. He said, because of that, the child shall die. He went fasting. There are things you don't fast about. They sealed the fire. I told these people that are close. You remember when they took Elijah? Remember sons of prophets? Do you think they are committed tongue talking? Do you remember Elisha said he's gone? And they said, no, let's search. Did they search?
Yes.
Did they find?
No.
Some people are just stubborn. Everything, you think you can change everything. You cannot change everything. There are things you can change. We saw an example yesterday, Hezekiah. And we saw how he did it. Very light. You can see God was waiting for an excuse to show him love. Why? Because he was a Psalm 91er. Psalm 91. Say, because you have set your love on me. Psalm 91, verse 14, 15. Give me. There's conditions. Because he loves me, I will deliver him. Because he knows my name, I will protect him. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and share my salvation. That's Hezekiah. That's the clause under which God did that Hezekiah matter. Not when you don't love God, you don't know his name, you only know your own and that your rich uncle. Then you'll be calling out to him anyhow, expecting God to answer. For who? Who are you? Who is calling? Ring, ring. Have you seen people pick phones and say, "Enidom"? Who has seen this before? Who be this? Now, wait. I don't mean if you saw one small person who has no money doing it. Some of them are running from debtors. I'm talking about a big person who knows is about being worried. Who has seen them go? Who be this? Have you seen how they hold the phone? The way they hold the phone, said, hope is, if the person calling saw, they will just cut the call. You're like, who is this one again? Then, have you seen when they drop it without answering it? Just press silence. I'm taking you beyond the veil, though. I'm taking you up to heaven. I'm sure some people, that's so, now your call, they enter. I know you don't like it, but you came here. We are talking about saving you. So, how many do you think can get saved? Because he's talking with people that love him. You? The last time you called was last December 25th. Okay, there was that other call in, on first, the New Year. Why are you calling me? I would have answered, but there are like 100,000 people here. We are discussing saving the world. You have never cared for one soul. So your matter cannot be urgent. A servant of God was caught up in a heavenly experience. His staff came and said, please pray for my mother. Please pray for my mother. It's not the first time he has prayed for her mother. She will be on the brink of death and she will come back to life. So again, pray for my mother. Pray for my mother. And he started praying. He said, I will pray. And at night when he waits on the Lord, he knelt down to pray. And he saw himself before the Lord Jesus on the throne. And he said, Lord, please, I ask for the life of... And the Lord answered, to what purpose does she keep living? Of what use is she to my kingdom? You know, again, all over the world, pastors have deceived people, or preachers, or they don't know, are ignorant. Let me put it that way. They go around telling people, it doesn't matter how you are. You read all the Bible you read, you see it written there, you keep saying it doesn't matter. A God who all throughout says you judge according to what you do, you keep saying it doesn't matter. I'll judge you according to what you do. You keep saying it doesn't matter. I've told you it's what you do that matters. You say it doesn't matter. So God is a liar. You are telling the truth. Wait till judgment day. God says what you do matters. You say it doesn't matter. That pastor said, when he said it, laughed, mocked. You laughed along. Instead of running for your life, changing church, instantly, you stayed. Someone sits there in front of you, broad daylight, lies, contradicts 400 scriptures. You sit down and say, amen. May it be so. Well done. I wish I could shake your hands. The back. Oh God, there's consequences for foolishness. I'll judge you according to what you have done. That's the word. I said it from Genesis to Revelation. I really said it at the end of Revelation. Not just Revelation, the end. You didn't hear me. I said I'm coming soon. I told you what I'm coming to do, to check what you have done. You still said, mm-mm. It's different. If you're a child of God, judgment is not for you. You didn't see that judgment was for people whose names were in the book of life too? That they were judged according to what they have done, according to the books. You want a short passage, you can read Revelation 20.
Note it down. Revelation chapter 20. And see how they are done. Books are open. It's not just a book. Books. Books. And the book of life. When they check you here and they check you there. He tells his children, you judge them according to what they did. Read Matthew 25. From verse 31. What did you do? Not what you think I will say. What I've said. And there was consequence. Child of God. There will be consequences for those who disregard our God. So what happened with that woman? The law asks, what does she do for my kingdom? Takes care of maybe her grandchildren, a little here and there. And then he asked him, how many more years? He said he remembered Hezekiah, opened his mouth to just ask 15 years. As he said, 3 years. He said his mouth, my mouth said 3. My head, everything in me said 15. How did my mouth say 3? For you can do nothing against the truth. I am the truth. He opened his mouth again to say 15. 3 years. He realized he was in trouble. And the Lord said, granted, after that, don't ask again. She should be dead now. Because that was more than 3 years ago. So it was his staff. Nobody said the woman is not a Christian. But it's like, what? She's dead. So what? What does she do? God keeps living. You keep coming to ask for extended time. For what? It matters. Your relevance matters. Relevance absolutely matters. Now I'm going to rush through Psalm 101 in case someone has a question. So rejoice in all of God's nature, not just some of his nature. Don't only rejoice in his kindness. Rejoice. That is sing about, talk about, praise it. When you're telling people, when I tell people about God, just like I'm telling you now, I don't apologize for God's severity. All over the world, I've heard people apologizing for God's discipline. I've heard people apologizing. I've heard people saying, I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for that. I wish this and I wish that. I've heard people read portions of the Bible and say things like, in this place, God, those days it used to be white people. Now it's blacks. It's not that God is, or they're like, I know this place sounds. You're trying to apologize. You're holding brief for God. God said he'll do something. You're trying to explain it away. It's because they do not have a proper picture of God. Or maybe you don't have a proper picture of mankind. You have not come across rebellious, stubborn, foolish mankind. Do you know sometimes God may have gone to someone and told him something 4,000 times? People lie down at night and sleep and the Lord comes to them multiple times. They wake up and do their will. You go and be there praying. What are you praying? I'm not saying you shouldn't have prayed. I mean, we are interceding for people all the time. I pray for, you can't believe. See, we've prayed for people after the prayer. We have visitations in that prayer meeting. The Lord tells us, don't do that again. I've heard you, but don't do it again. In one, what the vision that was seen, we were in a pit. Not too deep, but something like a tank. And there was a vat of boiling fire that was about to be poured on someone in that vat. I took everybody and climbed in and stood there and said, God, please don't pour it. He said, don't do it again. I've heard you this time, but don't do it again. Don't enter with them. You mean you'd have destroyed all these other people for one person? For what? Climb out. I've heard you once. And I understood it later because the person did not repent. You're not hearing me. That person that we went in for did not repent. Seemed to. Then went right back. Despised, spat at all of that. That's what he meant. Like, in other words, you think you're kinder, so you love mankind more than me. I repeat, some of you, you're here, you're listening to me. God comes to you in dreams, tells you things, warns you about things you argue about on earth. You wake up from it. It's not once. You come and continue the argument. You think God doesn't know. He doesn't see the pride of your heart. He will bring you down. It's just that who knows, maybe 5 more minutes. Your time is about to run out. And he will let you know something. And when you see him, if you think you tell him any story, God is not, is God afraid of you? Then why does he bear with us? Why does he bear with us? Instead of being grateful for all the time he has borne with you and repenting, you continue stubbornly. I will do my will. My will shall be done in this earth. Ah,
How can I come out and agree that they were right? How will I hold my face? Yes, I've had the dream 3 times now. But how will it appear? How will it appear? Wait till judgment day. Unfortunately, it's not everything that waits till judgment day. Some things will happen soon. Why? Because God is letting us. Okay? Come on, Ruth. Come on. You're a blockade. Shift. Poor. Are you hearing me? Sorry, oh, this is how I prophesy. Sorry. It's always as though I'm just preaching. Until it comes to pass this evening or tomorrow, then you know it was prophecy. So I'm just saying, in case you're a visitor, you're like, oh, what? So much drama. It's styles of prophecy. Style. It's not a deliberate style, you know. I don't see myself as a prophet. Just I say many things that come to pass sooner than we expect. So I would suggest to you, be slightly afraid. If God has been speaking, I'm qualifying the specific word. God has been speaking to you repeatedly. You keep saying, it can't be me. It's not me. Who is it? They will call a specific thing. People have sat down. I'm preaching. I say specifics. You know, the other day I was preaching after the meeting. That day I was discussing material in Abba. And my wife said, as we were in the car, you know, she said, you were so specific. We just bought a material. It was 1,200 that they were selling it. We bought it for 900 and they sell it to New York for 1,500. Everything. But I told, what are you shouting about? You're not serious. So you don't believe all the time that I say it. It's normal. That happens all the time. You don't know. It happens all the time. It's happening. I say, even me, I'm scared. I'm like, dear God, I hope that example I'm giving is not, you want to talk? If you start talking, you thought you told me. No, I have not been at home now. Nothing. She didn't tell me anything. That's why people are always thinking that you shouldn't know. If you give a testimony, I come and preach your testimony, you should know. Some of you still think I was listening to your testimony. No matter hundreds of times, you won't believe. That's your problem. I'm serious. That's your problem. The Holy Spirit knows all things. Yes, and sometimes we speak from His mind when you're preaching. I only said that to say that when I say it, I don't stop because I don't get it. I'm not seeing a vision. It just flows out. And you know, people regard this. There's somebody here. The Lord is saying. But if you don't understand that when I stood here first, was about to say, then I stopped and talked about Bitcoin. That was direct. A human being. I won't ask you to raise your hand. You know yourself. You can even be online. But many times, actually, some are online. Some are sitting somewhere. Sometimes they say it. They tell whoever invited them. First timer. They tuned in. And then as they tune in, it happens. And they start wondering. Some you have to. I stop and explain it. Because some people, I'm afraid they'll go and quarrel. Some people are angry with people. They say, I told you something in confidence. You want to tell your pastor. Use me for example. Meanwhile, I don't know anything. The Holy Spirit knows. So that person I spoke to about Bitcoin, you thought that was a figment of imagination? No. That was even too direct. No, you're a real person. Hearing me. Utterly confused. Wasting money to the kingdom of darkness. You give account for what you did with the money God put in your hand. We give you money. Greed. Idolatry. Greed. You can't be giving it. And hey, for that person, it's not the first time. It wasn't a one-time thing. You're not learning jack. You give account for every dime. Maybe the only way you escape is to double the amount and give to God. And I'm not asking for money. I don't care what church you're in. Go and give. You give account. Oh, if I was here, I wouldn't buy a car yet. I would just be offsetting debt. I better pray for the cancellation of all the things you have empowered. Someone will drink and get drunk and kill someone somewhere because of money you gave them. You think it's a joke? You'll be powering darkness. Christians everywhere bumbling along, clueless, empowering darkness due to greed. Say no, but God says it was a mistake. No, God says you offered your sacrifices at a strange altar. Who is the source of blessings and provision? God. It's to Him you are to turn. It's Him that sends rain and sunshine to the righteous and even the wicked. Instead of turning to Him, you turned to greed.
You pumped money into where you thought. You don't know that is Baal. You don't know what Baal worship is. You turn to the gods of fertility. And even though they have eyes and cannot see, ears can hear, they failed you. That's why your prayer failed. You offered it, but they failed. You ought to have understood that it was not God's will. You didn't learn from the first time. It's not that you did something once and I was expressing displeasure for that. No. It's not once. You seem like you're like a goat. You don't learn. The more they push you, the more you lower your head. In between there, there's suffering and need. You may have enough to meet your own need, but you don't support goodness and righteousness. You despise God. That's the sin if you're looking for what the issue is. You despise God. God is nothing to you. Do you have any change there? Change. That's how you think of God. Change. We are talking. So if I bring 1 million every day, that's how you think. Greed. Mammon is like this for you. God is nothing. You give him crumbs. The issue is not that God is so desperate for what he caused you to have. It is this kingdom that you're empowering. Understand it. You're empowering. Money goes. I hope you know there's nothing like lost money. I hope you know when there's a recession, economy crashes, no money got torn or burnt or lost. I hope you know all happened is the money moved. I cannot be teaching you everything every day now. You don't know after lockdown that the billionaires got richer. You don't know Bill Gates' money went up and Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk. You don't know their money increased by billions. Why do you think it increased? Did they go stealing during that time? No. When you say money is lost or something crashed, what's this guy, Sam Bankman-Friedman? Bank Friedman. Yes, no. Nobody now they do crypto. This fellow that they just passed judgment on last month, how much was he controlling his portfolio? How much did he lose? Billions of dollars. You think the money, he fell out of a boat into the bottom of the sea? It moved. It went to other people. And my problem is your money was inside. Be sending money to people who drink and carry 10,000 girlfriends. Why do you send your money to them? They say it's an investment. What's an investment? An investment is buying raw ground, not I'm frying it and selling it. That's an investment. MMM is not an investment. They told you on MMM this thing that is not an investment. Then they changed the name, called it Bitcoin. You refuse to hear anything. Your money goes to a place that government can find the people that do MMM. Nobody can find who takes Bitcoin money. Nobody. They exist in the Ethernet. Every story, every time, this funny thing that happened. So it used to be, I don't know if it still happens now. Whenever I preach, I'm preaching and I start talking about Bitcoin, it crashes. It's normal. Right, when I start talking about Bitcoin, within a day or two, bam, 25 billion gone. Bam, something happened. Normal. I don't know if I don't check it. I only know the other time I knew I was about to go to Lagos. I preached it, traveled that night, was sitting in my friend's parlor. I saw it on CNN, on his TV. That's how I knew. It was on the news. That one was $25 billion. One big scandal. The one before that is normal. Again, I don't know if it happens. I'm not saying it's every time, but I'm telling you the few times I'm aware. I don't go searching the news. I don't have the time to do that or even remember. I don't think of it. This is my point. An investment is an effort to earn. This is answering someone's question, huh? An investment is an effort to earn. You went and bought material, like that brother said. I went to shop with my wife. And they go to a bar, stress, go through the stress of sitting in a bus, I'm sure did not have air conditioning. Yes? You stress my wife. You just agreed in front of everybody. Okay, so they go to a bar in a bus, stress, long distance. How many police checkpoints? Is that 7 or 8? And they'll slow you down. How's the road? Better, not perfect, but much better than past. Smooth all the way. Like, I don't know which way you guys use, but When you leave Akwa Ibom, you don't know. It continues. You didn't notice when you left Akwa Ibom. How many of you used to know when you come into Akwa Ibom? You know we are in Akwa Ibom. Before, the difference is very clear. It's not because you're better people. You just get a massive allocation every month. You do know that, right? It's not like you're righteous or your governor is better. No. Your governors in the past. It's not a recent route. Better. No, now. Abba. Akwa Ibom used to collect 24 billion and they'll give Cross River 3 billion years ago next to each other. How can you operate the same way? Then you sit here and be critic. Oh, ignorance is bad. You hear people sit there and say, God forbid, though, that their governor is not trying at all. Not trying at all. One does not owe salary. Do you put things in order before your mouth opens? They give them 3 billion. They give you 8 times the same amount. How can you be in the same condition? Your circumstances are utterly different. Anyways, back to what I was saying. You go through the stress. You go there. You go and buy fabric. Then you come and sit down. You discuss. You haggle. You take the risk of the money. You buying bad material. Your customer rejecting the thing you get. You go through all sorts of risk. You sell hoping you can make a profit. Let's just say of 500 or 100 naira per yard or 200, however you do it. You know, you sit down. You say how much you want. You hold the thing. You employ someone to hold the other side. You cut it with a scissors. You endure the dust, the smell, the smoke. You get insulted on your way to and fro. You inhale, you smoke fumes. You go through all sorts of things. This is an investment. You sit down in one place. You press a button. Bim, transfer. I hope double will come back. This is not an investment. This is MMM. You fully deserve to lose it. What did you do? Laziness. As I'm saying, I know you say one preacher said it's okay. Oh, God forgive. Where did the preacher get the money investing? You don't understand. God have mercy on you. God have mercy on you. It's their money. And where did they get it? I know a laborer deserves his wages. I'm such a preacher. Was it not from you too? When, if they lose it, will you stop giving offering? How many of you know this guy is secure? How many of you know you are not? Who gives you money? Then they'll stand and see, you know, we are blessed. You are blessed. You push everybody to go and throw away money to a Hindu in India, a Muslim in Turkey, an atheist in China. And then you pretend it didn't happen. Everybody in this church that invests that in loses it is a guarantee. How I know it happens is because they in this church, they are honest. So when they come and say, I want to testify, I want to thank God for preserving me. I did not die of hunger. what happened? I know our pastor has been saying it, but you know, I didn't really believe. Well, someone came and talked to me and convinced me. And I now took, these are 50,000. You can't eat properly. How did you have 50,000? In fact, God is punishing you. Because you look at how poor you look. You had 50,000. Where was it? And it's money I started saving in my SS3. Where are you now? I finished university. You've been saving money. You don't need to eat. No. According to the richest man in Babylon, there's money you should keep and never touch. Oh, that's your mentor, the richest man in Babylon. So your life is a potpourri of bad advice. A potpourri of bad advice. Just a mix. A mixed bag of bad counsel. That's your life. That's how you make all sorts of decisions. Now, listen, you might say these words are harsh, especially if it's you I'm talking about. The last time I was saying this thing, I bashed and bashed. Then I went inside. First time I said, hey, God, hey. Someone now told me, he said, the person I invited, he just finished my first time. And I said, no wonder. No, I think the person told me, there are tears in his eyes. He had entered. No, that one was bank loan. No, he borrowed bank loan to him. Ah, chai, God. You have heard double wahala before. Levels. There are levels of trouble. And I think I just preached on how you can't take bank loans. Are you crazy? Don't try. Don't take bank loans. They'll finish you. I just been preaching. And the guy was... Oh my God, the good God.
God will help us all. MMM, Ultimate Cycler, and every other weird name. 2016, I heard it. We were just restarting Sunday meetings. This church, I heard it. And I said, what's that? These people, they were new, young. They were students then. They were my pastor for Bible study. And they said, there's this one called MMM. And as they said, I said, say, and you put money, you get double. Well, the people that told me, and you and who else? You, Margaret. These were the three people. They told me they were law students at the time. And they told me, and I said, what did I say? I said, it's going to crash. Okay, but you guys didn't put on me. You did? Okay, so that's a complete story now. Thank God she's thank God she's here. I've never remembered. I don't remember this thing because, you know. I said, if you put your money there, remove it. It's going to crash. Now, MMM had been around for how long? But I just heard it. As I said it, from what she said, she will remove her money immediately. It crashed the next day. She will remember because it was her money. Another person that was there, or she didn't come that time, one girl that was part of it, she lost it, lost the money. It didn't affect her. Her father had money. Lost it. What's the principle? When I checked out MMM long after that, they said that MMM, the MMM people said, this is not an investment platform. It's a money sharing arrangement where three of you join up and give one person. Then this person puts again. It's like a susu. That's what it ought to be. But since all the investors are thieves. Oh, I've explained this thing long ago now. All the investors in MMM are thieves. Who has ever read the rules of MMM that you ought to bring so others will collect? Then later on, you. Who has read it before? Who went? None of you ever read. You just go and put. Did you read it? Didn't they say that there is a money sharing, there is a way of supporting each other? That's, let me explain. Okay, you didn't have that video. The Bitcoin masterclass. There's this masterclass video. Why are you guys laughing? That is a masterclass. Share it to all your friends. Put it on your status. It's a perfect educational tool. You know, you must all be given to learning. See, look at me. Look at me for those who, someone still doesn't understand. You won't understand your MMM. Please, MMM. This is the first person. He brings money. First person. Second person. Third person. Oh, yeah. One person to carry double. So these two. Oh, yeah. You people bring again. You bring. Oh, yeah. Take two from there. Give this person. Now, the people coordinating it, the company, you saw, they gave you two. They kept one for themselves now. Because a laborer deserves his wages. But question, how will it come? This one they took, how does it come back to the owners? I don't know, but we told you. If you read the thing we told you when you joined us, we wrote there that we are not going to go and invest your money. It's not that we are taking your money to go and buy groundnuts or fabric and sell. We are not doing anything with your money. We are just keeping to be giving out to people as they come. It wasn't the first time it happened. MMM had happened in the 80s. It ended in disaster. That was the return of MMM. They are Russian brothers. MMM is the acronym of their name. It's not, it was on the internet. It wasn't new. They didn't deceive you. They say, bring your money. We'll try and give you some back. I repeat, the problem is all the people that bring money are thieves. So their plan is to bring the money, collect, and run. So how can everybody possibly get back their money when most of the people that put in money, once they gave them their double or triple, they ran? So you're a thief. You're a thief. They told you we are sharing money here. You came and took two people's money, three people, and took off. If that's not a thief, what? Excuse me, who knows Osusu? Thrift savings. You save together. Are you supposed to collect and skip? Who has been part of a cooperative before and someone took money and skipped? Huh? Who has been? I've been. A church group. No, listen, I'm not saying it's church people that ran. They allowed non-church members to join.
and they will collect money and be gone. You can never pay back. You can never pay back. When did I rejoin that in 2014, 15? You said they paid back the money. When? This year. Some months ago. You don't understand. It's in 2015. I joined it. Then I left it some years later. I moved it to my wife's account. To her, this thing. And then we've wanted to leave it since 2016. Something I needed the money back. 16, 17. This is 2023. They couldn't pay back because people had... That's a cooperative, not which is honest. A cooperative is good and okay, should be. But when the members are thieves, do you understand this? That's why MMM cannot work because they are not investing. But at least the founders, they may be the most innocent of the bunch. I know they are guilty. I don't see how they will escape the judgment. But they may be the most innocent. All the people that are coming to put in, collect, darling, have you carried? Let's run. But thank God for the power of greed. They always come back. Let's go back again. You don't put it quick and remove. As you put, bah. Oh yeah, this is Bitcoin explained. Compare it to what I just told you about MMM. Watch the video next to you. This is Bitcoin. That man's can of drink was one. It fell in by mistake and someone gave him two back. Wow. Money. Did you see what came back? Gold chain, money, everything he had ever gotten. Watch carefully for the blessing. All right. So that's Bitcoin explained. It's okay. We saw. Any question? That's it. Bitcoin is just the maximized name for MMM. Why? Because every once in a while, the person that starts it says, all right, enough, and closes it. That's when you say it crashed. If they could know who owns and starts it, they could go after them. But they are the ones they don't know. The first person that started some of this, what's his name? Naruto. What's that his name? They've never known who it was. They've never found out. It's a bank that has no personality. Who has checked out any of these things? They can't find you. When they can't find you, who do we hold? Hold yourself. Why did you give them your money? I heard when people put in money, come back. The God binding you didn't tell you why should money come back. You don't care. It's like people, when you stay, your bank credits you, give thanks and give testimony. There's thievery in your nature. You're sitting here saying, no, is it not a blessing? Why did so many Christians join MMM? Because their churches tend to be MMM centers. Yes, now you've been told for how bad the church was ripe for MMM. I think they were the greatest contributors. And nobody seems to understand that was judgment that came on the church. No, you just go on with your life. Say, hey, you have bad luck. You don't understand. You just got judged. You know how you get flogged and you don't even understand why daddy beat you. There's nothing as bad as a person being disciplined that has no clue. What did I do? What you did is that you are greedy. For years, the church taught people that when you come to church and do God, MMM, that God is the mega MMM handler, that when you come to God, you